It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Triple 8 70 2 5 4 9 4. Twitter at Bill is King. Hanging out this morning. Charles Arbuckle at the bottom of the hour, and at the top of hour number three will be Griff. Yeah. Griff will be with us. So a couple things here on Twitter this morning. Let's get back in there. People are reacting to D'Angelo Gibbs, who's transferring into Tennessee. He was a big-name recruit who's never busted a grade. So I would caution Tennessee fans about that. Should have mentioned that. When did that news hit? Over the weekend? When did that? I should have mentioned that yesterday. I didn't. It did not hit on our agenda machine. But that's not a... Folks, that's not a big get. At least not. He's going to have to prove something because he hadn't done anything, as far as I'm concerned. Curb Stomp tweets, "Hey, Bill, Gibbs had about 57 chances at Georgia. He was thought to be kicked off the team last spring. Couldn't stay off the green. Wouldn't do what was asked of him and quietly parted ways before the bowl game." So, I think Aubrey Solomon, who's a Georgia kid, will help Tennessee. He was this last year at Michigan, he was injured a lot, but played as a true freshman the year before that. I think that's a pretty good transfer there. I'm not a big D'Angelo Gibbs guy, as you can tell. Now, look, if he proves otherwise, we'll change our stance here on the show. I'm not saying you can't make better of your situation. Maybe he will, but to date, that's what I see in him. I don't have a lot of faith there. Coach Marshall says, "Bill, I can relate to having to be home by 8. Yeah, the Greg Madison addition for the Buckeyes is solid. I've always been a Greg Madison fan. Now, again, not taking it too far, but I think he's a good position coach. And I think there was a time where he was a really good coordinator, too. That's not today. I don't think that's what you want out of him today, and I don't think that's what they want out of him today. I think that was a solid addition. Does that hurt Michigan that he's leaving? No, I'm not saying that either. Not at all. L-Dog, I brought this up with Gator Dave. I don't know if you missed that. We were talking with Gator Dave. I'll bring it back up with Griff, too. But he retweeted, says, "Bill, Kirby seems to have a real dislike for Mullen. I was wondering if you knew of any background to that." I don't know of one moment there. Maybe there is one that I'm not aware of. And if anybody knows more background on that than me, please tweet it out. I don't know if there's one thing that happened when Kirby was at Alabama and Mullen was in Starkville. I could be skipping over something. Maybe I'm not remembering something there. I think it's probably more along the lines of it's pretty natural if you're a Florida or Georgia coach, meaning the head coach, you're probably not going to like the other guy. It's not possible to be very friendly to the other head coach. Now, you can be cordial, you can be professional, but I'm just saying there can't be much affinity there if you are the head coach at Florida or Georgia for the other guy. If there's a moment that I'm missing, then so be it. Somebody could correct me there. Very quick handshakes, drive-by handshakes, things of that nature. Look, after that game, I mean, it's to lose that game's hard when you're the other guy. And this year, obviously, like we talked about going into that game, Florida's got a lot more personnel than Georgia. Excuse me. Let me flip that. Georgia's got the better end of the personnel. So I fully expected that Georgia-Florida game this year to end up exactly the way it ended up. Vince says, Bill, I might be alone on this, but I don't think the Madison thing was that big of a deal. No, I agree. I think it works well for them, and it's not going to hurt you. It doesn't have to be win or loser in this case. I think it works well either way. It's not a huge loss. Look, he's not going to be your recruiting guy. Not at 70 or whatever. How old is Madison? He's at least 70, right? Now, there's nothing wrong with being 70. I'm just saying. I don't think it's gonna have a big impact either way. And the Buckeyes are already in an advantageous situation with Michigan. They've proven that. I mean, they own that series now. They own it. Just like Michigan owned it when they were going against John Cooper, Ohio State owns it now. They've owned it for a long time. Well over a decade. What is it now? 14 out of 15? I know Josh's favorite coach, Luke Fickle, not Luke Fickle, Luke Fickle, was the last guy to lose to them. And actually, Luke's done a good job at Cincinnati, so don't want to denigrate him too much here. He's done a good job. Jeff, too, pulls up an article, says, Bill, I miss Spurrier being in the game. He said, this article here, every quote in it, it's 10 different times that Spurrier destroyed enemies or friends. It's an article about some of his most famous quips from time to time. You got to remember now, and the Tennessee-Florida series is where it is because of Spurrier. Now the Tennessee-Florida football series, football rivalry isn't what it was. It just isn't. You don't have the personalities involved, and you don't have Florida and Tennessee aren't what they used to be. Florida's closer to what they used to be than Tennessee is, but neither are what they used to be. And you haven't had coaches since Spurrier left that could carry on the, number one, the quips and the attitude. Now Urban Meyer had hellacious teams, probably better. I don't know. Well, that'd be a good show. I don't want to go there right now, but the 06-08 Florida teams, how would they do against the 96 team? That'd be a good conversation. But anyways, I'm just talking about the head coaching personalities are a little bit different, right? So Mullen's not going to pop off like that. Kirby's smart. Now, Kirby Smart can pop off. Remember after the Alabama loss and the conversation was about the committee selecting the four best teams, and Kirby Smart said, tell Alabama, ask Alabama, ask Saban who he'd prefer not to play. So, no, he can get kind of spicy, but nobody's like Spurrier. But see, back then, Tennessee and Florida had, you got to remember now, Spurrier is an East Tennessee guy. He's from where Trevor Lawrence is from, that same area, originally. And in the 60s, when it was time to select a school, and Spurrier was all everything in high school at Johnson City Science Hill. He was all everything. He was a star in every sport on the highest level. And he didn't choose Tennessee because Tennessee didn't throw the ball. Went down to Florida and ended up not only doing well at Florida, won a Heisman Trophy, 1966. A guy from Johnson City, Tennessee, wins the Heisman Trophy. Okay? And Johnson City, good area, I'm just saying, but that's not the area where you think, you know, there's going to be a Heisman guy here. Heck, Johnson City may have another Heisman winner in Trevor Lawrence, even though he had moved to Cartersville, Georgia, but still. Give credit to Johnson City where it's due. But anyways, so Tennessee fans already had known Spurrier because of his background. And they followed his career all the way up to Duke and then to Florida. And then that insult to injury, every time he would play Tennessee and he started beating them regularly, he'd rub it in. Can't spell citrus without et cetera, right? Without a U and a T. Tennessee won the national championship in 98. Spurrier was in Miami at a speaking engagement. Somebody asked him about it, and he goes, that just shows you miracles can occur. Even when Tennessee got something done, Tennessee actually beat Florida that year. And he had a quip for him, right? So, Jeff Tu pulls up this article from, it's from 2015. Spurrier's best all-time quotes on Ron Zook. That's my boy Zooker. Be careful here. He says, he told me I'm a tough act to follow. I told him that's why he got hired. Some of those coaches that had been at really great jobs, they didn't even want to touch it. On Mack Brown, when Spurrier was at Duke and beat North Carolina, he and his team took a photo at midfield. Mack Brown, then at UNC, called Spurrier classless for the gesture. He says, why? I've got a better record on the field than he does. There's more there. We'll pull those up here in a second. I want to get the break, though. Let's get the break here. Bottom of the hour, Charles Arbuckle. We're presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Part of Mountain View Road is closed in Antioch due to wrecks with injuries at Bell Road and at Crossings Boulevard. I-24 East, a wreck at the Hickory Hollow exit. On Briley Parkway South at Two Rivers, a wreck on Opry Mills Drive. Vietnam Vets is backed up from Conference to New Shackle. I-40 slow across the Eastern Split. I-24 and 65 are slow north of the North Loop. 65 is slow across the South Loop as well. Make a living with a career that makes a difference. The United States Air Force. Log on to airforce.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-755-6390. That's 800-755-6390. 800-755-6390.
It began with a challenge from the game's greatest players, a mission to solicit speed from every detail of the driver. The new Titleist TS2 and TS3 drivers were born from the pursuit of speed. And now Edwin Watts Golf challenges you to find a faster driver than the new Titleist TS2 or TS3 by participating in the Faster Than Yours Challenge, exclusively at Edwin Watts Golf. For a limited time, test your current driver against the new TS2 and TS3 drivers, and you could win a $200 gift card. Come take the Titleist Challenge today, exclusively at Edwin Watts Golf for a limited time only.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat food that's hot and meaty. You want Penn Station East Coast subs, grilled steak and onions, baked bready goodness, and fresh-cut fries. Answer your craving. Penn Station, hot, meaty goodness.
Visit Penn Station East Coast Subs in Hermitage, Mount Juliet, and the two locations in Murfreesboro. And for January, try the delicious pizza sub with amazing fresh-cut fries and drink at a special price. Penn Station, hot, meaty goodness.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
I'm in my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM. Best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. The Bill King Show.
Did Joss on the city bed, scooter searching for his groove. Seemed like the whole world.
888-702-5449 for Twitter at Bill is King. Spurrier on succeeding at age 68 while at South Carolina. His quote. Back in January, they appointed this guy, and he's 77 years old, and he's the leader of a billion people in the world. They call him the Pope, and he replaced a guy that was 85. So if he can be the leader of over a billion people worldwide, surely I can get 11 people on the field. Just a few of them. On Tennessee, and this is not the Citrus Bowl one, he says, this will be the 14th time I've coached in Neyland Stadium. I've coached them more than some of their other head coaches. There was a time, particularly when he was at Duke, that he wanted that job. He wanted the Tennessee job. Obviously, he thought he could do well there. Now Florida called and ended up there, and that all worked out quite well for him, but and when he was at Duke, and you got to remember, he took the Florida job. His first year at Florida was, what, 1990? Tennessee was coming off a 1989 season where they got to the Cotton Bowl. They went 11-1, beat Arkansas, and tied for the SEC championship. 1989, it was a three-way tie, Alabama, Auburn, and Tennessee. Alabama beat Tennessee. Tennessee beat Auburn. Auburn beat Alabama. It was a three-way tie. And there weren't divisions in 89. Didn't go to division play until 92. And Johnny was coming off that 88 season where they started 0-6. And it got real dicey. But 89, they fixed it really quick. 90 was a team loaded, and they underachieved. They went back to not being very good at what they do, and they weren't well coached. And they lost two and tied two in 90. They underachieved. They could not live up to the hype that they got from the 89 equity, and they went back to being what they were, which is a mediocre coach football program. But anyways, right in there, Spurrier was ripe for the taking, but once Florida got him, then it was over, obviously. Yeah, he would have gone back. There was a time he would have gone back, but Tennessee didn't have the foresight to do anything about it. And they ended up having to fire Majors anyways. Had to run him off anyways. Remember, that happened in 92. So, and they elevated Fulmer, which at the time, I mean, I thought that was a good idea because I knew that the recruiting would get better when they elevated Fulmer, and it did. It did. And there for a while, particularly when he had Cut at his side, Fulmer did a very good job. Bottom of the hour, Charles Arbuckle. He's out in San Antonio now. He has left the pharmaceutical business. He's in Buck is in media, and he also was working for a pharmaceutical company. Been doing that for several years, many years, actually. And got out just a month or two ago to join Rick Neuheisel to coach in that football league that I can never think of its name. It's a new league that'll play this spring. I'm looking forward to it. I'm happy for Buck. Yeah, I'm happy for him. Hopefully it goes real well. But he's wanting to get in there. Now he's a football guy. Buck played his high school ball in Houston. And then went on to UCLA and played. I remember him at UCLA. And then went on to play a few years at the NFL. Colts in particular. Indianapolis. And so Buck played all the way up. All the way through into the NFL. And I think made it about 4 or 5 years in the NFL, which is way longer than most anybody else makes. What you don't hear about is even the people who get to the NFL, and I don't mean the superstars, but just your average dude. I mean average in that crowd. Way above average in general, but average in that crowd don't last very long in the NFL. It's the guy that makes it but only makes it for or lasts about 2.5-3 years is very common. That's such an incredibly high level and so difficult to make. And so difficult to sustain on that level. But I don't think people realize that. They take it for granted. They take it for granted a lot, actually. But yeah, Buck played all the way up. And I remember, I'll tell you how I remember him. Back to the Tennessee topic a little bit there. I remember because, wasn't it 86? Tennessee's playing UCLA, and they're up 26-10 with about 8 minutes to go in the game. And they give up 2 touchdowns and 2 two-point conversions. And it ends up being 26-26. Gaston Green was the running back for UCLA. Buck was on that team, if I'm remembering correctly. But I remember Charles Arbuckle playing. There was another year, couple years later. What was it? It was 90, and Buck was gone by then. Tennessee used to play UCLA every so often. It was a thing. 94, Peyton Manning's freshman year at Tennessee. They played UCLA, and Jerry Colquitt blew his knee right in the beginning of the game. So Tennessee went through. Tennessee played 4 quarterbacks in that UCLA game that day. 4 quarterbacks. Including Todd Helton, who went on to make $1 billion in baseball, and Peyton Manning, including those two. They played 4 QBs. Jerry Colquitt, who was a Oak Ridge, Tennessee native, blew his knee. Might have been the first play. It was the first series offensively for Tennessee. Maybe it was the second play, but blew his knee immediately. It was the first game of his last season at Tennessee. He had not started before. He was finally getting his chance and immediately blew his knee. Can you imagine that? That happens, but can you imagine that? Buck at the bottom of the hour. Griff coming up, top of hour number 3. We'll have Griff with us, and we'll hang out a little bit, talk some Georgia with him. Here's the sad thing. Griff has to cover, and I don't know why, at Dog Nation, he covers basketball. You imagine being cursed with having to cover the Georgia basketball beat? You imagine that? Tom Crean is their coach. Now, we'll see. Look, it's not even through year one yet, so I want to be somewhat fair. But nobody has success with Georgia basketball, unless you're talking about Hugh Durham. I saw Hugh Durham in 83 take a team to the Final Four, and Dominique Wilkins was gone. No, I can take him. Terry Fair on that team. Neek was gone. No, I was in college. I remember watching that. Final Four. They got beat by that NC State Cinderella team that ended up winning it all. That was 83. But Griff has to cover Georgia basketball. Oh, my God. Marshall, Coach Marshall says, Bill, the Tennessee Vandy game is here Wednesday, meaning at Memorial Gym. Says, remember the great Ray Mears and his circus and walking on purpose in front of the Vandy student section? Great times. Yeah, Ray Mears was something else, man. Who's that guy that he had that would ride the unicycle? Some of you don't go back that far either. They used to. This was the 70s. What was that guy's name? But he had a guy that would come out and would ride around on the surface of the court on a unicycle, just as an entertainment thing. It's kind of like back in the day, Tennessee, I don't know how many of you remember this. They had, and I don't remember the year, somebody bean count this for me. What was the last year that Tennessee had the walking horse out on the field? Tennessee used to trot this beautiful Tennessee walking horse out before games. And he would prance around. It's just a gorgeous animal. And because of laws and animal rights and what, I don't remember all. I mean, but it was a long time ago. I think it stopped in the 70s. Now, I could be wrong. I could be way off there. It's been a long time since then. Speaking of that, one other thing, and I don't know why my mind's working this way this morning, but somebody pulled, who was it that pulled up on Twitter the Playboy All-American team of like 1974? And they put a picture up because, and it was on the front cover and it was all the All-Americans. Anyways, Tennessee had a kicker that made first team All-American, and he was on the cover of Playboy along with all the other players. And his name was Ricky Townsend. Some of you will remember him. And do you remember the way he kicked the ball? He took his big toe and his the toe next to your big toe, okay? And with shoestring or something, he tied those two toes back around his calf. You know what I'm saying? Like he took the string and wrapped it around the back of his, you know, upper part of his ankle under the lower part of his calf. And he tied the two toes on his kicking foot back to where they were pulled back. And he kicked the ball that way. And he was first-team All-American, Ricky Townsend. You remember that, too? Again, I don't even know why I thought of that. Anyways, I'm not making that up. It's true. Chose Arbuckle coming up, bottom of the hour. Let's get the break. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Bell Road is closed from Mountain View to Hickory Hollow Terrace due to a couple of major wrecks with injuries. Bell Road is jammed east of that closure. Avoid it by taking Hickory Highlands and Rural Hill. I-24 East, a wreck at the Hickory Hollow exit. Right shoulder is blocked. Vietnam Vets is backed up east of Conference. I-40 is slow across the eastern split, as are I-24 and I-65 north of Trinity and 65 across the south loop. The U.S. Air Force has more than 200 career options. Log on to airforce.com. I'm A.J. Rose with your on-time traffic.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Coal-Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Coal-Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Coal-Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Coal-Hall, the coldest team in town.
Do you have $10,000 or more in outstanding federal student loans? You may qualify to have your entire student loan forgiven with one free call. That's right. If you're a teacher, police officer, firefighter, or work for a nonprofit, you may qualify for new federal programs to have your entire student loan forgiven. Graduate Service Center wants to give you free information on all the programs that can help. The sooner you call, the faster you can get relief. Get the maximum loan forgiveness, loan reduction, or consolidation available. Plus, find out in the first free call what you qualify for. A loan forgiveness specialist is standing by to answer all of your questions for free. Stop worrying about student loan payments. If you have $10,000 or more in federal student loans, this information could change your life. Call 800-315-9956. 800-315-9956. Wipe out your federal student loan debt. Find out how. Call 800-315-9956. 800-315-9956.
Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Music City will be under a wind advisory today. Increasing clouds, high 54 for the day. Showers this evening, a low 45. Temperatures rise slightly on Wednesday with a rain-snow mix. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Alvin Washington.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Biscuits, kitchen notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel does, and Bill King loves them all.
Joe's Arbuckle with us on Tuesdays. He's relocated to San Antonio. He's coaching for the Arizona team, but they all practice there in San Antonio. Hey, Buck, good morning to you, sir. How long will you guys be there in San Antonio?
We'll be here till the 31st.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all here, and then we all kind of get on the jet planes and head back to our respective locations.
And yours will be Tempe Scottsdale, which that's hard to beat now.
We play at, you know, the Sun Devil Stadium, but we'll practice out in Glendale at the Cardinals outdoor stadium, and we have a facility right about 10 or 15 minutes from there, so. Yeah, we've got a actually pretty good setup. We were there for mini camp and it's been good. Guys are working hard and we got to make some decisions here in the next couple of weeks. So you can tell how guys will ratchet it up. I remember those days in playing football where people try to hide from the guy coming around to make the decisions. But no, these guys are working, man. All of them.
What are the rules like roster size, et cetera?
I think our roster will be 52, and then on game day we're down to 42 or 45 on game day. So it's not a big, big roster. So I think they have to temper the balance of playing guys so they get an opportunity to play, but also having enough guys so if people go down, you have somebody that you can call up. So if you were to release somebody and say you get a couple guys hurt at that position, you have their rights unless they're signed by somebody else or if they clear waivers. So that's enough. You know, it's just this first year, we're still trying to figure it out. and it's interesting, excuse me, how that goes. But, you know, we're starting to kind of understand a little bit better, you know, each and every day we're doing it and getting a chance to, I think we've got a scrimmage against Birmingham. That's our preseason scrimmage per se. We're trying to practice again against Orlando so we can just at least get some, you know, other looks and live guys other than ourselves.
Throw out, like you did last week, a few of the names, some of the names on your roster that people in this audience might recognize.
I think, you know, folks back your way may recognize Steven Johnson. He's, you know, he's a six-year NFL vet, a linebacker.
Yep.
Trevor Knight, you know, a guy that played at, you know, Oklahoma and then Texas A&M. He's, you know, another guy that's our quarterback. John Walford, who played at Wake Forest. He's another quarterback for us. And I'm trying to think. We've got some, you know, we've got quite a few guys that have had some time in the league. And, you know, in my room, I know Thomas Duarte, Joe Fourier, and Gerald Christian have all been guys that have had some time in the NFL. So I think, Bill, the biggest thing that I like about it is that it's given guys a chance to, you know, if they've been out and they want to get back in, that's one thing. But if they've been in and they've just been right on the precipice of getting a chance to play,
right?
You know, I think that's Trenton Thompson from Georgia. I think we just signed a big defensive lineman.
Right.
He's here. So, you know, those are – there's some names that I can remember when I was, you know, calling games saying, oh, man, that guy's got a good chance to make it. But for whatever reason, you know how that goes, you just have to have the opportunity and the chance to make it. And if you don't, you better figure out quickly how to get in, because if you don't, your name kind of gets forgotten and people forget who you are, and the next man up, so to speak, those younger guys are coming and you won't get your chance.
Charles Arbuckle with us. This past weekend, Buck, those NFL games, and we'll make an exception and talk about it because I think it's interesting. The controversy over the no-call in the Saints game, give everybody your career, UCLA or the pro game, a moment or two where you were involved, maybe not specifically, but your team was involved in a horrible either call or no call or reversal of some sort.
You know, Bill, I don't ever remember. I mean, I know in the course of games there have been missed calls.
Sure.
Always.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the one like in the Saints game. I can't. You know, all of us were talking about it afterwards, you know, just like, you know, can you believe it? But then you go back, and I know if you have Rams fans, they'll send you pictures of all the missed calls. But that was so blatant and such an open call out in the open that you're like, how did they miss that? The first thing I thought of, though, why was Sean Payton throwing the football there? I know he does that. He has a tendency to say, okay, we should be running here, but we're gonna throw the football. You know, you got to run the football, in my opinion, to kill that clock. And once they got behind, they incomplete pass, and then they started doing it time and time again. Yeah, that call should have went their way. But that was my first thought. Why are they throwing the football when they need to be killing time and being in a position where they can, you know, close this game? But I don't remember ever having something that blatant in all my years of football to say, the game should have been turned one way or the other. Now, let's also remember, too, the Saints still had an opportunity to put it away. They just couldn't get it done. And that's, you know, that's part of the NFL. I've been watching the local news here and some of the national news, and they say they want the commissioner to overturn the game. I said, well, you guys are crazy if you think that's going to ever happen. All I remember is if you got a bad call in the game, you would get a letter and apologize, you know, apology letter from the league office, but you're never going to get a game overturned.
And no, if you did that one time, Buck, you talk about a slippery slope. No, no game is safe once you do that.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, we have to consider there's nothing perfect. There's human error, but think about it like this: if we didn't have replay like we do now, the Patriots may be in the same position, because think about how close that was with Edelman. He didn't touch the football. But if you don't have replay and they called it the way they did on the field in the old days, that would have stood. Then we would have, that would have been controversy afterwards. I think, Bill, the biggest thing for me is both games were overtime games, and I think both road teams won, which was just interesting how it happened. And they were both highly competitive games, and you know, leading into the Super Bowl. So those are the things that were just so interesting to me, the back-and-forth team getting behind, like Kansas City coming, storming back, and then, you know, the Rams not really playing as well as the Rams have played and then finding a way to win. I think what you see now is playoff football. All those 50-point games, they're getting back to being committed to the running game. Defenses are playing better, and you got to get every time you get in that red zone, you got to come away with touchdowns. You can't just come away with field goals.
You coaching now, and I know Belichick is odd, and he doesn't say a lot, and he purposely won't mention individuals. But what is, I guess my question is, what is his magic? What makes him such an incredible, not only talent evaluator, but once he gets him, and obviously he evaluates better than anybody else through the draft, free agency, whatever it is, then day-to-day, what's the magic there?
You know, Bill, I think his biggest thing that he's able to do is get guys to buy into what he's selling. You know, I was on this team when he was in Cleveland, and I was released. I didn't play for that team, but I could tell then, and all the guys that have played for him, his ability to X and O are just off the charts. You know, he can do that. Right. Is he a real people person? No, not at all. But his ability to not only X and O on a board, but get guys to actually do it on the field in real time. Because if you look at that defense, during the playoffs, they can morph and metastasize into different things. They can be whatever he wants them to be at that time. And that's not easy to do. And they can go in and install something in camp and still run it in the playoffs or the Super Bowl. And I think that's a testament to him being able to teach and help guys understand exactly what he wants them to do. If they can't, they won't be around. And he's not afraid to cut guys. He's not afraid to run them out of the organization. That's one thing. The second thing is having Tom Brady on the other side, who has to face every single day. And Brady is just meticulous in how he approaches the game and how he wants to beat you and how he wants to get better. Being a sixth-round pick, I was a fifth-round guy. I totally get that mentality. You're the guy, you know, on the depth chart, always fighting. But once you make it, you never forget what that was like when you were, you know, not really sure if you were going to make the team that year or not sure if you would get that opportunity. And I think Tom Brady has done a really nice job of making guys better. Whether you love the Patriots or not, you have to respect how they play and how they battle you. If you're going to beat them, we were talking about it the other day. It's like a horror movie. It's like Michael Myers or Jason or Freddy Krueger. Man, you got to put them down because they are not going to quit fighting until that very end.
Buck, we will contact you next week, bud. Appreciate you, man.
All right, man. Always good talking to you. Have a good one.
There he is. Charles Arbuckle out in San Antonio. He is coaching with Rick Neuheisel in that league that's going to play this spring. And they'll actually play their games out of Sun Devil Stadium on the Arizona State campus, which is a thing of beauty. Arizona State. If you want to go visit a place just to visit it, or you have to, if you happen to be in Phoenix, some of you folks probably have travel business in Phoenix, whatever, go by that campus. Hang out there just a little bit. You won't regret it. That is a place, man. Wow. I love Sun Devil Stadium. I so loathe the fact that the Fiesta Bowl is not there anymore. It's in yucky Glendale. Not my idea. Hey, that's not my bowl game. It's not my Fiesta Bowl. Southeastern Termite and Pest. Give them a call. I am one of the owners. We're having a good time with this, man. Get on a quarterly spray regime. 615-293-0722. 615-293-0722. Southeastern Termite and Pest. And whatever it is you need when it comes to pest control. And you're going to like the pricing. You're going to like the customer relations. You're going to like everything about it. Follow-ups, whatever it is you need, You're going to enjoy the relationship. 615-293-0722. Southeastern Termite and Pest. Let's get to break here. Hour number two, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Bell Road is closed from Mountain View to Hickory Hollow Terrace due to a couple of major wrecks with injuries. I-24 is jammed south of that. A wreck on I-24 at Shelby and a wreck on Murfreesboro Pike in Arlington is slowing everything across the eastern split. The pike is also full between Donaldson and Smith Springs. Ellington is jammed north of Spring Street. The U.S. Air Force has more than 200 career options. Log on to airforce.com. I'm A.J. Rose with your on-time traffic.
GEICO presents Unhelpful Home Improvement How-Tos.
A slippery bathroom floor can result in expensive hospital bills. So today, I'll show you how to cushion a serious fall by filling your bathroom with thousands of plastic balls. Just nail a piece of plywood across the doorway and dump in 2,000 multicolored plastic balls.
You could try to protect yourself with a bathroom full of plastic balls, or you could get liability coverage through the GEICO Insurance Agency. Visit GEICO.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Nashville, want to save on Medicare Part D copays? Your local Rite Aid now has a Walgreens pharmacy, which could mean lower copays for you. Bring your prescriptions to a Walgreens pharmacy and start saving today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Every Walgreens pharmacy, including the one in your local Rite Aid, participates as a preferred network pharmacy with United Healthcare, Cigna HealthSpring, and Express Scripts Medicare. For complete list of available plans, please contact 1-800-MEDICARE. TTY users should call 1-877-486-2048. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or consult www.medicare.gov. Other pharmacies are available in our network.
This is Brett Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Kentucky Wildcats ranked number one in the country for the first time since February 2008 and the second time in school history. The Vols are 16-1, winners of 12 straight, and 9-5-1 against the spread. They are on the road at Vanderbilt tomorrow night. The Commodores have lost 5 straight games. They are 9-8, 4-8 against the number. Tonight, number 8 Kentucky hosting 22nd-ranked Mississippi State. Wildcats are favored by 6.5 points. The Wildcats are 14-3, 9-7 against the spread, and they've won 11 consecutive meetings with the Bulldogs. For VSiN.com, I'm Mike Sennett, WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and we are closing in on race cars on the racetrack from Daytona. I'm talking about the Rolex 24-hour race, and that's coming up this weekend. Plus, we hear from Jimmy Johnson, so grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
I'm Jimmy Johnson, and I get my news on The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
Don't forget to like us at Facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it every single weekday right here.
He spends more time staring at depth charts than any man in any universe ever. It's Bill King.
Nashville Hotel. Griff will be with us top of the hour. 888-702-5494. Grant on Twitter says, Bill, has the Cosby cattleman been located? Yes, I would say he has. Friday after the show, when we were still wondering, well, Charlie had vetted it and had determined that the Cosby cattleman was not incarcerated in a Cock County jail. But that was the word at some point Thursday when Spence called in. After the show, I'm driving home, and I get a note from Charlie that says that he had heard from the Cosby Cattleman. And the Cosby Cattleman emailed Crazy Charlie and said, I've been up late at night hitting the dickel, and I've not been getting up early enough for the show. Long, cold, Rocky Top, East Tennessee winter has got him hibernating a little bit. So that's the word. That's his reasoning. So up late with a bottle of Dickel, watching George Strait videos, staying up a little later, and sleeping in. That's where we're at. I'm surprised, though. Now, again, the Cosby Cattleman is the most unique caller and fan that I've probably ever experienced. Because, like we say, his team is Tennessee. All of you have your team, right? And you're very loyal to that team. See, he loves his place just like you love yours, except he's totally different than you. There's very little about his school that he likes. It's his team. It's his school. It's who he wants to win, but he hates almost everything about him. It's the most unique relationship ever. Most of you are foolishly loyal. And I don't mean that as a slap. I just mean it's true, right? I mean, you'd probably admit it. Hey, Bill, I've got my team, and I'm sticking by them. And I'm not going to turn my back on them. They may need a new coach in this sport or that coach, or this sport or that sport from time to time, but I am with my team. That's 99.9% of all of you. You're like that. That's normal. Cosby Cattleman's not like that. He didn't even like the football coach at Tennessee who was winning a natty, former. He don't play it, man. Yeah, the Cosby Cattleman's different. But yes. We have, by way of electronic mail, we have heard from him. He must have heard from somebody, and I don't know who, that we were trying to track him. Because it came to a head on Friday on the way home. I was just happy we located him. Charlie did. Brown Man says, Bill, unofficial motto for Georgia hoops. Next year, we're going to be really good. There are not a whole lot of folks that care about Georgia basketball, frankly. We'll have him on. I was asking about the walking horse tradition in Tennessee, which ended many, many years ago. Jeff, too, pulled it up. He said, Bill, according to the Tennessee student newspaper, which is called the Daily Beacon. Is it still called the Daily Beacon? I think so. It says Tennessee walking horses on the field was a homecoming tradition. The last time it happened was 2016. Oh, but see, even though it says here, I mean, it happened in 16, I think that tradition is many, many years removed from happening. They stopped it many years ago. Maybe they brought it back out in 16 for a special event, but unless I'm just totally missing the boat, 20, 30 years ago, they stopped it due to animal rights and whatever. I don't remember that. Somebody can tell me what the exact reason was, but it was something like that. It's cruel to have a walking horse out there prancing around, Bill. It's cruel. I'm just saying. Yeah, I think that as a tradition. That was a long time ago. Vince says, hey, Bill, what do you think the spread's going to be for the Vanderbilt-Tennessee game? Minus 30? Good question. I guess we'll know tonight when it comes out. Late tonight it comes out, right? What time do the basketball spreads come out for the day before? I think Brad was saying, what, around 7-ish or something? 7, 8 o'clock? I haven't noticed. Somebody who's more nimble in that world would be Rob in the 210 or somebody. Tell me what time they usually hit. Oh, they'll have Tennessee, 8 or 10-point favorite, you think? I don't think it'll be something too big because they'll take the rivalry into account, but not very good. Not good at all. KKL says, Jesus. Spelled J-E-E-Z-U-Z. Says, Griff is not boring enough. Covering Buster Brown football, now we have to listen to Griff on basketball. Kill me now, she says. Oh, we're not going to. No. There's not 10 Georgia fans in general who can name three starters off the Georgia basketball team right now. Georgia basketball is out of sight, out of mind. Even when they're playing in the Stegman Coliseum, it's still out of sight, out of mind. You know, it's too bad. Because somebody that got the Georgia job, if they could recruit the state of Georgia and get players, the state of Georgia is loaded with basketball talent. The state of Georgia is loaded with every sport. Lots of talent. Doesn't matter. It's a great baseball state. It's a great anything state. Loaded with athletes at any sport, anytime. If you could get somebody, maybe Tom Crean's the guy in a couple of years, I don't know, that could convince a couple of key players every year to stay home. In basketball, you could win big there. But nobody ever gets that done, right? Nobody. Literally, nobody. Out of three coming up, Griffin.